Stephen Gerard was crossing the street around 2nd and Market when he was run over by a wagon wheel, which hit his head and tore his left ear, leaving him seriously injured. After 2 months of seclusion, he came back to run his bank business and continued purchasing property and increasing his net worth. He bought the Peddle Hall Farm, which eventually became Gerard College.
Hold up, wait a minute. Who is Stephen Gerard? What is Gerard College? What is the history behind them? So many questions to be answered with so little time.
How about I, Natasha Ashby,
and I, Douglas Wallace,
tell you a roller coaster ride of a story involving contentment,
sadness,
deceit,
success,
and change. This video will reveal the life of the late Stephen Gerard
and the history of this remarkable building.
Stephen Gerard was born May 20th, 1750 in Bordeaux, France.
Was he born blind?
He was born with an amblyopic right eye, which left his face disfigured. He was ridiculed for it, so he kept to himself a lot. He moved to Philadelphia permanently.
If he was born in France, how did he end up in Philadelphia?
Well, many of his voyages to America would take him to places like New Orleans or New York, etc. He really liked the American market, but when the war began between America and the British, Stephen was forced to change his course due to a blockade. So instead of going to New York, he had to go towards the Delaware River. He ended up staying in Philadelphia permanently and soon started accumulating more money. Next fact. He started sailing at age 14 and eventually became a captain at age 23.
Did he always sail?
Actually, he did. He had a growing passion for sailing across seas. His father became a captain while in his 20s. His grandfather decided he wanted to be a part of the seas at the early age of 10. It ran in the family. When his mother passed away, it impacted him very deeply. You could say it motivated him to set sail and follow his dreams just to make her proud. He owned at least one slave.
Did he ever carry his slaves on his ships?
Let me give you some background here. Since he grew a large appreciation for America and its way of going about things, he figured it was only necessary to own slaves. He would keep them in the house, but he would never take them on his ships. He developed a proficient worldwide maritime trading fleet and collected a fortune.
Oh, please go on about this trading fleet.
Well, after he developed a trading fleet through shipping goods across seas, in 1789, the United States Constitution gained complete governmental control over the country, which was good for Stephen because they got rid of anyone else who was causing disorder within the shipping business. That decision benefited Stephen most, so his worldwide trading fleet could now shine on its own in every manner possible. Although, the very next year, his industry was in trouble. Due to the French Revolution, which went on for years, it interfered with the world commerce. Stephen knew this would not be good for his business. His remains were removed from his grave and placed into Founders Hall, January 9th, 1851. He put his wife in an insane asylum.
Wait, he put his wife into an insane asylum? What for?
That's a valuable question. They married in 1777 while docked in Philadelphia during the Revolutionary War, and he committed her in 1790.
What could have possibly happened in those 14 years?
I'm getting there. So it was in 1785 that Mary was showing a serious mental instability that she had to have had for an extended amount of time, with uncontrollable outbreaks of emotion, built up anger, and the stress from Stephen for not being able to give him a child was enough information for him to conclude that she was insane. Throughout that time, there were attempts to help her recover, but did not help. He committed her as an incurable lunatic
to Pennsylvania Hospital. By then, he was sure that his marriage was over.
He gave a personal loan to President James Monroe of $40,000. During her years in insane asylum, Mary Lum, Stephen Gerard's wife, had a child, but it is uncertain if it is his or not. He wanted the future of America, who did not have the money to spend on school, to still be able to attend it. He wanted to leave virtually all his estate to Philadelphia.
Wanted? Did he not?
Long story short, in his will he wanted to create a school for white male orphans, which happened. His will was changed so many times though. His relatives thought that it was not smart to give a large portion of his money into creating a school for orphans. They wanted to be selfish and keep his huge estate value to themselves. So, the will was taken to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1844. Daniel Webster, who basically fought for the Gerard family and their wishes, although the Supreme Court eventually decided to leave the will the way it was. That was a tough defeat for Daniel Webster. He would walk from his home to his farm every day and pass out shoes to needy children. He was a mariner, a merchant, a banker, a land speculator, a farmer, a humanitarian, and a philanthropist. He was at the top. I mean, what couldn't he do? He had two mistresses. After the first one got married, then he moved on to the second one.
Mistress, was he not married?
He was, but when he came to the conclusion that his marriage was over, he needed someone to fill his wife's void. The affection he lacked, he desperately needed, which is where mistress number one comes in. Her name was Sally Bickham. He didn't believe there was anything wrong with having a mistress, especially since he didn't have a wife who he could live happily with.
What about the second one?
Well, after she left him to get married, he was quick to replace her. Her name was Polly Kenton, and she was a 26-year-old laundress. Stefan was on his way to becoming a millionaire, being worth more than $250,000. Polly cared to his every need, and in return, he spoiled her with extremely lavish gifts. They were more alike than expected. She was a hard worker as well. His net worth at the time of death was $7.5 million in 1831. Today, that's around $50 billion. He helped fight against the yellow fever epidemic in 1793.
What was the yellow fever epidemic?
So, during the summer of 1793, Philadelphia had experienced the worst epidemic, yellow fever, which was like the influenza. Symptoms included nausea, black vomit, lethargy, and yellow skin coloration, hence yellow fever. Doctors could not find the prominent cause or treatment for it. Many people died, and the only way to keep people alive was to have them flee the city. They figured that one of the causes could be the unsanitary condition of the water, which was a necessity during this time. People with the fever were treated as outcasts and refugees, considering the fact it was so contagious. He loaned money to the U.S. government during the War of 1812.
What did the money go towards?
So, the U.S. was going bankrupt, and the loan helped them out financially. By doing so, the war could continue on, and U.S. eventually won.
Wow, Stephen Girard lived quite an interesting life. But, I mean, the facts just don't end there. Hey, Doug! I think our audience is yearning for some facts about Girard College, too.
Some quick facts about Girard College? I think I can name a few.
Dun da da da!
The campus was originally for all white boys with deceased fathers. The building was founded 15 years before it opened. Desegregated in the mid-1960s.
How did the desegregation go about?
Well, the Supreme Court ending segregation in all public school systems. Although Girard College was not a part of the Philadelphia School District, because of that reason, the Board of City Trust, on behalf of a public figure, were required following the federal law it administered. Next fact. 1968, the first African-American male student was admitted. Virtually all students from Girard College get accepted to college. The first female students graduated in 1993. The class of 96 had more females graduate than males. And also in 2009, they made Autumn Atkins the 16th president of the school. She was the first African-American woman to be named the president of the school. Founders Hall Architecture has the finest Greek Revival architecture. The school is now open to all function orphans with single parents. The school was bought by Stephen Girard for $100,000, but the school is now worth more than $6 million.
Stephen Girard was a kind-hearted man who cared for America even though it was his second home. His contribution to America made it so that we did not fall into an economic collapse. He became the richest man of his time and died a very successful person whose story is told to this day. His kindness also extended to children, which is why he wanted to create a school for orphans, specifically white boys, who have deceased fathers, so that they will still be able to have an education. Girard College became that school in 1848 when it first opened. It was built with the finest Greek Revival architecture. Surrounded by a 10-foot wall, it has had its students attend and graduate into very successful people, and Stephen Girard would be very proud. For the DEA, federal agents mad 'cause I'm flagrant, tap myself and the phone.